Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Len Casper.
They've talked to Darvish internally about simplifying things, being a little more aggressive and not thinking about a lot of different things, not necessarily thinking totally about the scouting report. And just, you know, we saw in Miami in his last start, right? That at the end, he just started throwing 98, 99 miles an hour. And I think every once in a while, that is really, really effective. So you know, his slider ends up being kind of the pitch that he really wants to use in big spots, and I understand that. You know, Chatwood has his cutter that he could throw for strikes, but it always comes back to fastball command, and whether that's the four-seamer or the two-seamer, I think Darvish probably has to throw it as much as he possibly can.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We're at Gallagher Way today. That's where those studios happen to be. We are outside. The sun is out already. This Xfinity broadcast is part of our day to lead you up to Cubs baseball. Lawrence Holmes and Zach Zaidman will follow us, and we will get you ready for what promises to be yet another very exciting weekend series. That you couldn't have written this better. First the St. Louis Cardinals, and now the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Cubs keep having these opportunities to weigh and measure themselves against other teams, because that's what Jed Hoyer says they're doing, so all good. Midday Midway at 10:20, Sam Fuld, the former Cub, at 10:40, Jonah Carey at 11, Sahadev Sharma is going to stop by at some point, and another chance to win $1,000 in cash, which would be a nice way to go into your weekend. 312-644-6767. That's our number at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or a sext?
You do that. It's Friday.
If you're feeling a bit frisky at the end of the weekend, it happens. 67011. When you send, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Joel Embiid is God's gift to Philly.
Jimmy Butler was the guy, though.
Yeah, but I don't really like to give him a whole lot of credit. No, it was a lot of fun to watch Joel Embiid work.
I agree. It's never fun to watch Jimmy Butler.
No, it's not fun. It's less fun to watch him than it is to watch, well, I don't know if I believe this when I say it, but James Harden. It's less fun to watch. Nah, it's probably less fun to watch James
when
Harden.
When you download that app, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We have the video feed. Look at this. The cameras are here.
Brian Gertz brought the cameras.
Yeah, Brian Gertz brought the cameras.
What's
so we
up?
Actually have the video feed here on site. Our engineer is Rich Wyatt. Our executive producer is Jay Zawoski. And we have Rick Camp and the executioner Ray Diaz back at the Score studio. So I guess the text line is already a dumpster fire because you bring up Addison Russell. And I would tell you the last 48 hours, Twitter has just been absolutely vile. It never disappoints. The number of actual Nazis.
Sure. Yeah. Really actual for real Nazis. It's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of fascinating.
It really is. It's amazing. Actually coming out there and it's you have an opinion on somebody getting banned from the ballpark for making a gesture and you talk about it and then the immediate response, it escalates immediately to someone should throw you in an oven like all the other Jews. Oh, okay. Great. You got right there. Good talk.
Well, you're not wasting any time on Twitter.
That way you don't
it's
screw
economy
around.
Of words.
And somebody gets absolutely right to it, and then the Pepe the Frog meme with the rainbow wig is
telling you
should be in an oven.
We were just dealing with internet comments, you know, like on articles and stuff, on actual websites. You'd take 3, 4, sometimes even 10 to get to that kind of conversation. But now on Twitter, it's one reply, you're in and you're good to go. I understand that the conversation has not been one that's at times been a lot of fun to have or listen to or engage in, but I think the Cubs have made it pretty clear that they believe it to be a necessary conversation.
Yes.
So that on its own merit makes it part of our baseball conversation. I much rather talk about Mike Montgomery and his kind of pseudo MVP status for this coming series because of what he did yesterday. I mean, being able to save a bullpen like that, heading into a three-game set against your division rival,
it was huge.
When your fifth starter, and that's what Yu Darvish is right now, when your fifth starter just can't find a fastball, that's some impressive stuff.
He caught what Chatwood had, and what's happening now is my paroxysms that I suffered while watching Chatwood now happen while I'm watching Darvish. Ask Tony Gill, because I kept having to poke my head in to the studio, because usually when Mitch is here, he's got the TV on in his office.
Yeah.
I can poke my head in there.
Right.
But when he's not here, I would kind of go in, how's it going? I'm watching, like, come on, man, because I'm following on MLB.com while I'm sitting in Cody's office and writing a column, and then it's like, dude, throw a strike. Just throw a strike. You're Yu Darvish. Throw a strike. It's okay.
They've got all kinds of pitching issues to still figure out, even while, like you mentioned, they've been really good. They picked a real good time to get really good, and still, there's some nits that you could pick around this Cubs team right now.
Gallagher Way is populating with Cubs fans and a couple of impossibly adorable toddlers.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
if it's running around ready for a game.
Yeah, I don't know if it's adorable toddler day here, but that there was one.
Yeah, that's the giveaway.
Here's one for you. Enjoy. Yeah, there was one little girl who was walking full Cubs regalia. I mean, Cubs.
Almost, except for the sparkle shoes.
Yep.
Badass sparkle shoes. She was decked out and ready for a day. It's going to be a fun one here at Wrigley Field. We are at Gallagher Way. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show broadcasting here on the precipice of a Cubs-Brewers series that you tell me feels like a rivalry. And I get rivalry. I mean, I understand it. The Brewers won the Central last year. The Cubs were forced to play a one-game playoff. And
choked the life out of them.
Yeah, they did. For whatever reason, I get that it is a burgeoning rivalry. I just don't know. I don't know that it feels that way this weekend. Maybe it's just it's early. Each team has its own stuff to figure out, as good as each one respectively has been to start the year. But I'm still kind of in this. Rocky III was on last night, right? And I sat down and was watching a little bit of Rocky III. So Rocky III was on last night.
All right.
And you know me. I haven't seen many of the Rocky movies.
Yes.
And you know at the end of the movie where Apollo and Rocky fight.
Ding.
You get the
ding.
Still frame, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just as that first punch
That's the first time I've ever seen that. And
really?
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, I've watched Rocky once.
Wait, okay.
Creed was amazing.
This is the first time you've seen Rocky III at all?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you see the...
I'd always seen snippets.
Okay, have you seen Beach Sprint and Beach Sprint Frolic?
Yes, but only because those are like on websites and GIFs Vines and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'd absolutely seen that.
Okay.
So I'm watching, and the whole thing is just... They're talking to each other in this impossibly bad dialogue, Carl Weathers and Rocky, right? They're going back and forth, and Sly's just kind of muttering stuff, and Carl's just kind of muttering stuff, and the whole thing is a dance recital. And then finally, they throw that one punch, and it goes to a still screen. I feel like we're still in the dance recital part of the Cubs-Brewers whole thing this year. I assume that there will be a fight, and I assume that Ivan Drago is coming in at some point.
Okay, you don't mean an actual baseball
fight? No, not an
fight.
Actual beat. No, okay. those are also dance recitals.
You mean they'll engage?
Yeah, they will engage at some point. I don't know that this is going to be the series where you do it. Maybe. I could be wrong. But I'm just not feeling – it doesn't feel like a heavyweight dance yet.
Maybe I'm projecting a little bit, but I want it to be. I like it. I like a little bit of edge in some of these weekend series. And in similarly to the Cardinals series, the fact that it will culminate again national television, right? This is another Sunday night affair. That feels cool. I like capping it off with that game on a Sunday night. It gives it a little size and sort of builds to that.
Worthy point. I was reading today that the Brewers have not been on an ESPN Sunday night game since 2013. It has been that long for them. And Craig Counsell played the underdog card. He played the well where the Brewers and small media market. And I don't know if people know about our team and whatever. And that's fine. He's allowed to do that. I actually kind of like Craig Counsell.
I do too.
I like most of the way this team's, the Brewers are constructed. You know, with the exception of Ryan Braun, they've got a bunch of likable guys.
Yeah, it isn't just that. It's the fact that they dared to try to win in a way that others haven't. And they're an example that pokes holes in the grand lie that so many baseball ownerships will say, like, well, you know, this is how you get good, so we're just going to have to, I don't know, pocket all this money for a while. And well, we're not doing it to pocket the money. The pocketing the money is just kind of a side effect of trying to win.
Right.
When Joe Sheehan, our guy on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock, and others have really said, look, the Brewers decided you can spend money to bring in better players who are available to you to ply their trade and just be good. You can do that. And that's what other teams should do and be incentivized to do. So in a lot of ways, the Brewers represent a very healthy relationship between the big business of baseball and the public servitude, being able to be a partner to the fan.
While adopting the newest ways of trying to run a baseball team, too.
I mean, correct.
They hired a general manager who was 29, like the day they hired him, and then when he made his announcement to the press, when he did his press conference, he had just turned 30. I mean, Stearns is, he's that kind of young, that kind of new age, and he comes with all of the sabermetric, you know, background and marinate that everybody else has, or every front office of baseball has. It's interesting to see him kind of maneuver the way he has in the small market he's got to run in.
That's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. We are live at Gallagher Way. Come stop by, hang out, and say hello. I don't know. We've taken a bunch of photos with people already.
Yeah.
A bunch of school kids came by. We're here and available and accessible.
Can I tell you that I heard a call to the Mully and Haw show earlier this morning, and it was like typical, you know, Cub fan call with crazy harebrained idea. And he even said so. He said so coming in. And I was like,
was it the guy saying,
here we go,
Addison Russell should sit in front of women and the women should beat him up? Because, I mean, I know women can push your button sometimes, but you're not supposed to hit them.
It was not that.
Did you hear that guy?
No, I didn't hear that.
My daughter.
Wait, that actually happened?
Yeah.
That wasn't like a Dan Bernstein fever
dream? No, it wasn't. My daughter goes, what the hell is this crap? And I said, honey, it's sports radio. I said, that's what it is. She goes, oh my God.
Sweetheart, I'm so sorry. Get out of the car. just leave. You don't have to listen to this at all. This is absolutely awful. No, I heard a different call, and it was a thought that this guy had on the Cubs pitching and the issue that is Yu Darvish.
All right.
And as he started talking, I was like, this is a whole bunch of nonsense. And by the time he was done, he had presented an idea that I thought, that could actually happen. Sooner rather than later.
I'm intrigued. I want to hear this.
We'll do that next. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Until last outing, I was thinking too much. I have to throw a strike. But today, I was focusing more attacking hitter, but just command was off. That's it.
Yu Darvish. Trying to focus more. Every game it's been something, and he's caught the Chatwood infection when he can't throw the ball over the plate. And they're not hitting him.
You know,
it's not like there's a lot of barrels or contact or anything like that. It's just a weird way to go about your job to have 150 pitches through four.
Yesterday's start from Yu Darvish reminded me a whole lot of the Cubs-Brewers race in 2008. You know why?
Why?
Because watching Yu Darvish made me think of Rich Harden.
Ah, yeah.
And if you remember, it was July 7th, 2008, when the Brewers made the trade for CC Sabathia, who then pitched every day for the Brewers till the end of the season, it felt like, and was absolutely fantastic. Remember, it was like a historic finish in Cy Young voting for a guy who had spent that much time in the American League and then the subsequent time in the National League that season. He was absolutely superb for the Brewers. And then the next day, July 8th, Jim Hendry went out and traded for Rich Harden of the Oakland Athletics. It was a literal and metaphorical arms race. It was really fun to watch. It was a chase down to the end for both the Brewers and Cubs. That was the last time the Brewers and Cubs really had a heated, you know, tense version of the rivalry since last year.
Yeah, it's a good point on Harden, and it was also, that was a time when somebody like Rich Harden could come along right now and you'd be like, oh yeah, five and dive, that's fine. That's not a pejorative anymore. That's okay. We can get into our high leverage bullpen now. But it was also when we became much more conscious of pitch count.
That was absolutely an
inflection point for the understanding of the effect of pitch count. And it was Carlos Zambrano was another one too, when he would have a 33 pitch first inning, sure. And then we're thinking, all right, well, where is the bullpen now? Especially the first game of a series, what does this mean? And now the pitch count is in large part a currency of the game.
Yeah, you wanted to get 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it felt like you wanted to get that pitch count up. That's the whole Moneyball thing, right? The actual book. You get the pitch counts up, you get to the soft underbelly of a team's bullpen early on into a series, and then you've got an easier time the rest of the ride. You've got a nice chance at winning a series and winning a couple of ball games by virtue of some good long plate appearances early on in a series. And right now, it doesn't feel like that's as effective if a team has a modern constructed bullpen. You've got a bunch of flamethrowers. You've got 95 out of there. And I guess, in looking at this year's versions of both the Cubs and the Brewers, we've talked a lot about the Cubs needing four or five more outs. And now with Pedro Strop down and not available for who knows how long, you've got six or seven more outs that you've got to find. Thank goodness for Mike Montgomery yesterday. But, we ended the last segment telling you that I heard a harebrained idea from a Cubs fan who had called the Mully and Haw Show. And I couldn't help but think, man, it's got some merit. It's got some... It's more than just having to pass right over it. You've got to think about it. Do you have to move somebody into the starting rotation for Yu Darvish? And is that guy Tyler Chatwood? Is that guy Mike Montgomery? I don't think you're there yet. It's crazy to me, though, that Cubs fans watching Yu Darvish can get so fed up with those starts and go back to the guy who made them so fed up watching his starts last year. It's amazing that that's where things sit. I just think you got to remember... Yu Darvish, though he's paid $126 million, he's got the contract and the major league history of being a damn good pitcher, he's your fifth starter right now. And most teams don't have a real great fifth starter anyway. So if you can rationalize it that way, then he's not killing you, and at least he's not eating a whole bunch of bullpen arms, and Mike Montgomery made a lot of that possible yesterday, this is a livable thing. And you're just going to have to deal with the every fifth day up and down ride that Darvish is clearly committed to giving you this year.
It's also a matter of assessing what Darvish is. And is he? We can go back to what Taylor Davis told us about his insistence as to how close he was to regaining control, his full powers. And that's up to Tommy Hotovy and the pitching infrastructure to figure out, because if, in fact, you've already decided this is what it is, that's a completely different call than thinking we're still in the middle of a process of somebody returning healthy for the first time and still going through this and on the way to something. And I think it's probably best at this time of the year in first place. You're not desperate right now.
No.
It's tense, but it's not desperate. I think the best thing you can do, and this is going to sound weird coming from me, is remain optimistic and trust a veteran who is still throwing hard that he's on the way to still getting himself back and giving him every opportunity. I think it would be a major mistake to start talking about pulling a plug.
I think so too, and it's amazing that in a season, in an off season where we spent so much damn time talking about urgency. And how is that relayed from a front office to a team? How is that actioned during a baseball season? Maybe the best ways to be urgent as a ball club is to make aggressive decisions with your pitching staff, not just the starters, but also the bullpen. Like you have to, whether it's start the shuttle early, like the Cubs did from AAA into the major league club, making some substitutions, moving Alan Webster in and Kyle Ryan and all those guys and fixing the leaks that were happening there. pitching is the easiest way to be urgent as a front office throughout a baseball season, but it may not be the most effective over the long term. Those two things are a little at odds.
Let the record show, I just made an addition to our building roster of impossibly adorable toddlers.
What is going on?
I don't know if you just saw the 3-year-old girl in a Kosuke Fukudome jersey.
I did not notice that it was a Kosuke.
Oh, of course it
That's
was.
That's awesome.
Yep, got the wave, got everything. So we could put our 40-man together, I think, by the end of today. We're already definitely at 3.
Oh, absolutely.
3 of the impossibly adorable toddlers who just seem to be all over the ballpark today. I don't know what's in the air, but they're coming out today.
Maybe it's rivalry. Maybe I'm wrong.
Is that what it is?
Maybe rivalry brings out impossibly adorable children to ball games, and maybe that's what we're watching this weekend.
Yeah, the toddlers come down and say, all right, listen, here's the diaper bag. Get my sippy cup in there. Get some Pirates booty.
Right. Who's pitching?
Get some goldfish. Pack a couple extra pull-ups. Who are the pitchers today?
And do not forget my Sesame Street pencil. Yeah. I am keeping score.
Let's get after this.
Pack it. I am keeping score all day today.
And I've just decided I don't want to wear these shoes. I want to wear different shoes. And if you make me wear these shoes, I'm going to sit on the floor and I'm going to scream for 20 minutes.
If you think I'm tying them myself, buddy, you got another apple juice coming. That is not happening.
He's Connor McKnight. I am Dan Bernstein. Addison Russell talked to Steve Greenberg of the Sun-Times and said some things that appear to be a bit of a setback. And it's weird. The whole thing is weird. And we talked about it yesterday that there's no end. But for Addison Russell, it seems like there is kind of an end. It's like, I'm here. When he said, yeah, I'm here. And if people want to boo me because I'm trying to win a World Series, that's on them. I do know that there is a component to the ongoing project that he is a part of, that Theo Epstein has articulated over and over and over again about his level of self-awareness, and I think it was kind of lacking.
We'll get into the comments Addison Russell made to the Sun-Times when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight live at Gallagher Way outside Wrigley Field here on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.